This episode might contain some of the best advice that I can give because it's the best advice that I've been living by for the past year, whether it's literally down to lifestyle advice, like time management tips, respect, people pleasing, or just things that have been really working for me in the supplement area, in nutrition and meal prep and fitness, all of that. I'm going to be talking about tons of different things in this episode, which is wonderful because I know I've left you in the dark for about 3 to 4 weeks. I took a little bit of the summer off. It wasn't totally planned, but I had a lot going on. And well, we'll talk about time management tips, but when it comes down to it, at this point in the year, I had 3 different certifications that needed to be renewed: my personal training certification, my nutrition coach certification, and my women's training specialist certification. Those require a mix of taking tests and studying for them again, and then also taking other courses and continuing education credits to renew it on top of that. So I had to take tests and get different courses, and like, I don't want to mess with that in a way where I'm not going to rush through it. Like, I thoroughly, if I'm taking a course or I'm taking something new, or if I am interested in learning something, I want to put the time into it. So between my 2 jobs and studying literally 3 to 4 different types of course material for either a test or a new accreditation, girl, I didn't have the time. I don't like that excuse, because it's not an excuse. It's just something that I had to do. I had to step back from the podcast for a little bit, which is totally fine. But we're back. We're better than ever. I'm all recertified. I got tons of things going on. It's my birthday today, actually, when you're listening to this episode. I decided to post it on my birthday, which is, I guess, a very Leo thing to do, unfortunately, leaning into that side of the Leo spectrum. But I thought it was a good episode because while I was studying, in the back of my mind, the podcast was sitting there, because this is like my passion project. I love this podcast and I love creating and engaging. And I went offline. I literally wasn't on like Instagram for like a month. I wasn't talking. It was just like separated from it. And so I felt the shadow of not being on the podcast, like in my heart, in the back of my head. And then I would put a little bit of pressure on myself I have tons of episodes that I want to do, but my heart wasn't in some of the topics for the moment. And then when I thought about my birthday coming up, I was like, oh wait, I can just wrap up the past year and do an episode of, like I just mentioned, things that have been working for me, things that I've learned, things that lessons, like little life lessons. I'll tell you some fun stories. And I can also tell you my favorites, basically, kind of like a YouTube or like TikTok video where people show you their favorites, like makeup products. It's going to be my favorite, like supplements and nutrition things and all those topics. So we'll get into it. Happy Leo season. I do have a fun announcement coming up soon, but we're just going to jump into it. So yeah, welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast. If you are new here, this is the show that explores all the ways that we can add more happiness into our lives, mind, body, soul, holistically. We talk fitness, nutrition, wellness, girl talk, yoga, astrology, basically all of it. You can learn new habits, get healthy reminders and recipes and more. And we talk about all the things that are just basically going to change your life. So I'm your host, Amanda McCormack. Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, I have a bunch of accreditations in the topic of health and wellness. That's my jazz. I'm also a content creator and a photographer. And I'm just exploring what makes me happy, and I want to open you up to that too. So welcome, and join us each week for new topics, meditations, and guest interviews so that you can start living your best life. Now, when I made this episode, it was truly me sitting there and just brainstorming for a few minutes the lessons that come to my head. So the order of operations we're going through, it doesn't make sense. It didn't start from the year. It's not like in a calendar order. I just truly was writing things down that were coming up from my heart and coming up from my mind and what I can think of. So we're just going to go through the list, and then I don't even have notes. I truly just have the bullet points of the different topics, and then, well, that's usually how I do the episodes, but I do have the bullet point, and then we're just going to see what comes up from there. So like I said, it's a mix and there's no order. I don't even have like a nutrition section. Like, we might be talking about some sort of like crazy like boundary tip, and then I'm gonna jump into talking about like a chipotle aioli recipe. So we'll see how the order of things goes, but I kind of like it that way, being a little fluid. So the number one thing I think I learned this past year is a combination of work environments, people in life, is basically standing up for yourself, which I can find easier to do in some areas than others because your time is valuable. And yeah, again, this can be in work or respect, just between people. Because a lot of the times I've noticed, because where I've been, without being too precise with it, I had to leave one job because I literally was not being respected enough. And I just, it it sat with me too long and I sat with it too long. I stayed in the job way too long and I let the people disrespect me in many ways. And I was doing it for like other reasons, like, you know, people tell you like, oh, stay with the job, like it'll help you out with your resumes and things like that. But at the end of the day, like you can only do so much. And I know, and I feel like when you put your worth into something and it's, if people are disrespecting you in that area, then it kind of like pushes away your opportunities to other things and your attention to other things. And you start just thinking this is how it is, you know, when really it's hard to pull away and stop it. And this can be friendships, this can be people, this can be work, whatever kind of resonates with you. But whatever situation you're in when it comes to standing up for yourself, it's because you are of value and your work is of value and your time is of value. And the more you give it to this source, whatever it is, the less you're going to be able to put it into other things, you know? And I just felt really drained with the situation. And it's also happened in other situations, but mainly I'm thinking of like a work situation. And then I've been looking at like other jobs for the past month, like different freelance things and different situations. And I can see how in the world, there's a mix. There's a beautiful abundance of so many things, but there's also people who like will take advantage of you. And I can see that with some of the pay options. And sometimes people are like, this is a commission-based role or this is like free work. And I truly don't. For a while, I used to think too, I was like, yeah, I'd get my foot in the door in this topic by doing free work. And I do think in certain industries, yes, you have to build things up. But at the end of the day, like your time is valuable and you should be respected for your work. I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but that's like the most like intense bullet point I have. The rest of it is like kind of more philosophical stuff, but it's just something this past year I've been working with. Like I was basically being disrespected in the workplace for like a super long time in one of my jobs, and like I had to end it this like a few weeks, just couldn't do it anymore. And I came down to the point where I'm like, why am I taking this? Like the benefits did not outweigh the cons. And at the end of the day, I sometimes flash forward to when I'm really old and I think back on my life and I'm like, old lady me would be pissed that I stayed in that for so long, or she'd be really upset that I didn't, not that I stayed in something long, because I feel like things teach you, the stuff that you go through, if you don't look at it as lessons, then you can have like that harboring resentment about things. And that's not what I mean by this example, but I mean, she would be pissed if I didn't look at other options and take the chance to explore other things or put myself out there in ways that can bring me more abundance, you know? So I don't know if that resonates, but I wanted to start with that one. The next one I want to say is, if you don't ask for something, you may never get it. I've spent so long in my lifetime just like living in my head, expecting things to come to me. Like since I've been a kid, I feel like that's something that was easier to me than going out of my way to be like, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? Like when I was younger, I used to even think like, if let's say you had to use the bathroom and you're walking by a restaurant, but you have no plans of eating at that restaurant, but you really have to pee, and you go in and you ask them to use the bathroom, that used to be the most terrifying thing in the world to me. I was like, well, I'm not eating there. They're going to say no to me. And then I would make an assumption and I would walk away full of pee, bladder full of pee. Every step I take, I can feel that vibration. And all I'm thinking about is how bad I have to pee for the next hour. So in that end, I end up suffering. But a lot of the times, if I just went in there and asked them, it's a 50-50 chance. They may say yes, but they may say no. And the worst thing they could say is no. But if I don't ask them, it's going to be 100% no, you know? So that has been something that I've been working with for a few years, trying to get myself out of your comfort zone to ask people questions. Or just like, you can really easily network with people. And sometimes in my head, it's scary, the idea, because you know what it is? It's rejection. There's a chance of rejection, and rejection's scary. And that's something that has been in my head since I was a kid, or been programmed in me for a while. So this year I've been trying to push past that and just knowing like, I can ask, like you can ask, you can just say it. You can say it to people. They may say yes, they may say no. You can try this. You can try to invite somebody to something. You could try to invite yourself to something, cold pitch yourself, email yourself to somebody. But people will say yes somewhere along the line, especially when you think, if you really want to get mathematical with it, if you send out 100 emails trying to make something happen, there's going to be a bigger chance. Like, yeah, people are going to say no, but there's going to be a bigger chance that people say yes. So in your lifetime, if you keep asking people things or trying to create something or keep trying for it, like you may get the no's, but you're actually building up your percent, you know, you're building up the chances that a yes may happen. And it's always going to be uncomfortable. I don't think it gets like too much easier, but you don't know unless you ask. So that is something I've been leaning into. My current mantra is life is to be lived and not controlled, because there's so many ways in life where I either try to squeeze so many things in, I try to change my appearance, if my hair is having a bad day, and my, like, literally, it can be on this level, if my bangs look really bad, I can step back and just be like, life is literally meant to be lived and not controlled. I can't control the fact that my bangs look really bad right now, but I can control... I can enjoy the life that I'm in. I can enjoy the present moment. So it's basically an anchor that brings me back into the present moment and brings me back into the fact that life is ebbs and flows, and it's also just like riding the wave of life is kind of what it attests to, you know? Life is not meant to be controlled, it's meant to be lived. So whenever there's something that's not going to plan, or I'm feeling uncomfortable with it, or whatever the situation is, I could literally have sweaty armpits and the sweat's running through my shirt and it's freaking me out. I can just be like, girl, life is to be lived. I can't control that right now, you know? So it really has been helping me in so many ways. When I find myself getting flustered over a conversation I had, or my anxiety is coming up with something, I can just tell myself, I'm like, it's okay. This is part of living. This is how living happens. I can't control this right now. Or if I get upset over the fact that, let's say it's raining on a weekend when I have plans, it's like, okay, again, can't control it. It's okay. Life is meant to be lived. And it really does bring me back. When I find myself getting those chitter-chatter thoughts in my head and it's just nonstop in there, I can step back and be like, girl, life is meant to be lived. So take that one with you. That's been my favorite one recently. Doing things for you and not because you're trying to live up to an expectation or how things are supposed to be. I talk about that topic a lot, I feel like, on the pod, but at the same time, it's something that constantly is happening with me. Especially if you're listening to this and you're in your like 20s, or if you're a woman or anything like that, where there's societal expectations for you and there might be a certain time point in your life that you're approaching, or you're in school and you're supposed to be doing things a certain way because everyone else is doing it. That's the classic trope that always comes up. Doing things for yourself, really stepping back and just remembering, like, you don't have to live up to other people. There's a thing my dad taught me when I was literally learning how to drive. I don't even think this man was trying to teach me this in a way that was like symbolic, but I always think about it. Because he was teaching me how to make a left-hand turn across a busy road. And he said, when you're not ready to go, don't go because somebody behind you is beeping you, you know? You're not ready to make that left, don't make the left. Because if you make the left and you're not ready and you make it because the guy behind you is beeping you and freaking you out, and you put your car out in the traffic and you get hit by an oncoming car, the guy that's beeping you is just going to drive around you. He does not care. He doesn't care about you. He's going to keep driving. So now you're going to end up with weeks and weeks of, you know, damage and all this stuff you have to go through, all because some dude behind you was beeping you and it freaked you out to the point where you went and did something you didn't want to do because somebody else kind of wanted you to do it. That's what I feel like doing things for other people literally comes down to. When you try to fit into an expectation, or you do something because your parents or your friends or the school or society around you wants you to do it, you're just creating more, you'll have less resistance in your life when you follow what you want to do and the passions and the things that light you up. It's like a hidden roadmap in this lifetime, and following those things are what's going to bring stuff closer to you that you enjoy and bring more happiness to you. So just remembering to do things for you. I like to think of that traffic example. I think of it way too much. I don't even think my dad remembers he said it, but I just think of it in the sense that you can apply that in so many different areas. And it's hard sometimes when the resistance comes up, or when you're feeling the anxiety of somebody beeping or saying those things or doing whatever. But if you can stand your ground and do what you want to do, that's how the quality of your life is just going to go up. I also used to feel really guilty, my next point, because I would take time for myself. And again, maybe society tells, especially as women, they tell us, like, it's hidden and woven into stories. But the fact that we're basically taking care of ourselves, we take care of other people, all of that. So when you make time for yourself, we have this innate guilt. And I can only imagine that gets propelled and kind of pushed more on you if you become like a mother, or you have a family dynamic, or you're taking care of people, where it's like you feel that guilt for making time for yourself, which is why we push self-care so much, like, in this industry, because it's hard sometimes to step back and do things for yourself, like, legit. And I can feel that now. I'm literally a woman with, like, no kids or anything like that, but I can feel that pressure in ways. And it's hard for me to step back and take time for myself in my lifetime. That's something that I've... Well, no, not really, because I feel like in ways it's easy to take time for myself. But when it comes to other people, I always would feel bad when I'd say no to events or turn things down, or I just need a night by myself. And this year, girl, I have been doing that so often, and it's been so good for my mental health to, when I know I'm overwhelmed and I can't make an event or I can't do things like that, to step back. this is something that's come up in like family and friendship dynamics, I think, a bit, where I've had to make time for myself. But at the end of the day, it's helped so much, because when you're overexerting yourself, or it's almost like you're doing, like I said in the last point, you're doing things for other people. Like, other people have these expectations of you and you're doing stuff for them. But making firm boundaries, that could mean making decisions in the moment, or looking at your schedule ahead of time and making sure that you make time for yourself during your week, or you allot certain hours where you can do things for yourself. You know, I love my alone time, and I find like that's where most of my creative passion things happen, and I need to make that time for myself sometimes. Next point is, I do try my hardest to smile at people. This is just a random life thing, but a smile will really go a long way. It can help you out in situations if you are trying to get like, I don't know, if you're trying to get something you want, like if you're checking into a hotel and you're just like a smiley person. But in general, I find that, I think it might be the New Yorker in me, sometimes I find it hard to make eye contact with people, just like when I pass them on the street or at work or anything like that. But I've been trying to make eye contact and smile at people, and oh my god, sometimes people will literally like not react, and it makes you want to crawl up in a ball, and you're like, oh my god, I'm putting myself out there. And again, it's that rejection thing where it's like, I smile at someone and they don't smile. I'm like, oh man, that's so bad. But I've been trying to do it so often anyway, like push past that, because truly I feel like there's been times where I have to just smile at people. Sometimes conversations start up and they lead places. Like, that's just how life is. I want to go through life like being smiley and kind of approaching people. And again, I'm not trying to say if you're in a bad mood to like paste a smile on at all times. I just mean in general, trying to approach situations or approach people with a more friendly demeanor, sometimes it pays off. And I just feel like in general, I've just been trying to do it more often. Now, this is a tip because I can see it unfolding in my life in so many ways. Make time to get up early and unwind for bed. It will be so worth it in the context of your entire day. If you ever feel rushed or have time management issues, I have a little bit of ADHD. I do have ADHD, but I don't know. I try to downplay it. I'm like, oh, I have a little bit of it. I'm like, no, I actually really deeply struggle with like time management things. But my day and the quality of my happiness day and just everything that happens when I make time in the morning to get up, and when I make time to unwind for bed, one, yes, sleep hygiene. You need it. Women need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And sometimes we're not even getting the 7, but trying to aim, I find for myself, when I aim over 8 hours, if I sleep like 10 hours, then I'm a little too groggy. But if I sleep over 8 hours, I truly feel refreshed. And sometimes that comes down to your sleep routine, what you do before you go to bed, unwinding, and all of that. I talked a little bit about that, and I'm going to talk more about that in next week's episode. We're talking about stress and cortisol and managing those types of levels. So if you have questions about that topic at all, send them over on Instagram, Happy Holistic Hippie, and I'd love to hear kind of what your problem areas are in that life, you know, like when you're trying to get ready for bed, or if you have issues waking up, just let me know. Send me a voice memo. I just want to hear other people's views on that before I make that episode. But that little disclaimer. But when you go to bed you don't have to go to bed early or whatever, but just making a wind down routine, I like to support with like herbs and supplements as well, and going to bed and then making the time in the morning. Because a lot of the times when I'm doing an unwinding routine, I'm able to like lay out my clothes for the next day. And these seem like little things, but to me, I never always did this. And I just found that this past year, like setting myself up for a good night's sleep and then waking up in the morning, I always wake up earlier than I think I want to. Like if my first instinct is to hit the alarm for 7, I have to move that back to 6:50, like even 10 minutes, like because they will add up, truly. I meditate in the morning. Sometimes I want to sit in bed a few minutes, and I think allotting more time than less will help you out. And you can do that when you set yourself up for a good night's sleep, you know, because sometimes it's like, oh, if you're going to bed late, then you're already thinking for the next day. You're like, oh, well, now I don't have time to do this in the morning. I'll just like sleep in a little bit. So set yourself up for success in the night, in the morning, and your days will truly, like your energy will just be so much better during the day, and you'll just feel better. Continuing on the topic of planning ahead, we're going to jump into food a little bit. I have noticed that planning ahead in terms of having basic staples on hand is so important for me to actually feel good during the week and eat food that it's going to fuel my body. Because in the moment when you want a snack or whatever, you have it available. You know what I mean by having the basics on hand is I always like to have snack options that are going to fill me up, and they're not going to make me feel like heavy and drained. I'm a big fan of like hummus snacks, so like having hummus packs or hummus in the fridge and just buying them in my grocery list each week, and then I can eat them with like crackers, I can eat them with fruit or veggies, whatever, you know, I have it on hand. Same thing goes with basic staples. I like to always have frozen fish in my freezer. I like to have sockeye salmon or anything like cod, because then that's an easy dinner for me, and I can just like let it defrost during the day, and it doesn't take too long to defrost either, fish, I find, compared to like bigger meats. So I'm able to easily put together a meal with that. I always have frozen chicken nuggets or chicken breast, chicken cutlets, whatever you want to call them, in the freezer as well, because I can take those out and make a salad in 5 minutes. I can throw them in the air fryer or whatever you have and be able to make a salad really quickly. I'm able to cook the fish and have a good meal. Like I said, I like to have my snacks on hand, and it's just for when those moments come where now I'm like, oh, I'm stuck at home tonight, or I don't know, like I need to eat something, I have it on hand. So that type of thinking does require planning. So I like to always make sure I get little basics that I know I need when I grocery shop. And sometimes it comes down to, if you don't have those basics in your head or you want to think about what's realistic for you, stepping back and honestly just writing down, like, what are some basics? What are some snacks that I enjoy having? What are some times during my day where I notice I either want a snack or I don't have a meal, or what frustrates me the most about wanting to cook dinner or cook lunch? And how can you answer those problems for yourself by preparing? Really good. We can do a whole thing on meal prep if you'd like, because meal prep isn't just like, that's a form of meal prep, is having things on hand like that. It's not just sitting down and making Tupperwares of rice. But I have found that having basics on deck sets me up for a really good week. Now, one of my favorite discoveries, because I have joined the Kindle Girly Club this year, getting books for free. You can get any book you want for free, because this is a concept that has been around for a while called the library. But you may know about this. I'm just sharing it because it's truly so fun. There's an app called the Libby app, and you can get it on your iPhone. You get, why did I say iPhone? That's such a like old, that's like a very old person thing to say. Like, you just say phone. I said iPhone for a minute there. Whew. See, it's my birthday. I'm already tipping into the scale of the the older side of things. But the Libby app, if you have a library card, you can get the Libby app, and then your library card system, whatever county or state you're in, will set up automatically when you put in your details, and you can rent ebooks and audiobooks through the Libby app. You can read them on your phone, but they have an option for books you can read on Kindle. Pretty much every book is on Kindle. You can rarely find a book that like won't be on Kindle, but usually it's like a super old book or a publisher that's not well known. But you can get the book totally for free, and you rent it like you would at the library, and usually it's about 7 to 14 days. And then same thing, if a book is really popular, you can put it on hold just like you would at a library. So I have about like, you get 10 holds. So I think I have like 9 holds. So all the popular titles right now, I just like have holds on them, and they give you an estimate. Usually it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but it's usually ready within a few days. Most of them, you know, most of the time. And I constantly have read so many books, and I always have a new book ready to go because of this app. And I think it's so fun. I got the Kindle, and they try to set you up a Kindle Unlimited, which is like Amazon's version of a subscription platform where you get quote unquote free access to certain titles. But to be honest, I don't think the titles that they have are really good for what I want to read. Like, I don't know, I'm not finding too many things. And then otherwise you got to buy each book for like $11 to $12 on Kindle. If you can just wait 3 to 4 days, you most likely will be able to get it on the Libby app. So check it out. It's like my favorite thing at the moment. The past 2 months, I have read, I think, 5 books on the Libby app. And that's insane, because my reading level wasn't the best. It's not the worst, but I feel like I'm just like an in-between reader. And I think I set a goal on Goodreads to read about 18 books this year. And I've read 5 already in the past like 2 months. So when I was reading paper books, that was a challenge for me. I was like 18, not 20, because I didn't believe in myself. I was like 18, that's going to be what we're setting. But with the Libby app, I'm like, ooh, I might be able to hit that goal like a lot sooner. And I've found myself reading books that I wouldn't want to pay the money for, if that makes sense. There's been a lot of topics where I didn't want to physically buy the book. Fiction books, for example, I usually buy high fantasy books, or the opposite end of the spectrum, like self-help, self-transformation type books, you know, things that are gonna help me and that are worth dropping the money for. Or for example, like all of like Sarah J. Maas's books, like I physically wanted those copies because I have them on my bookshelf and they just make me happy when I see them. But with the Kindle and the free books on the Libby app, I find that I'm renting like books that I wouldn't drop the $20 for because they're new books, you know, or I don't think I needed the physical copy of it. And I'm reading so many of them. Currently, if you want to hear some recommendations, one of my favorite books I read came out last year, I think. It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures. It's a beautiful fiction book, and the main character, there's a few different characters in it, but the main character is like a 70-year-old woman, and I don't know why, but the book, it involves animals, and it involves things through an older woman's eyes, and I just loved it. I loved it so much. It was a great book, I think, and it's a little bit of a mystery thriller as well, so everything you need. Great book. And then I read two really good books by Glennon Doyle, and then one by the girl that wrote Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert. So Big Magic by her, and then, oh my gosh, off the top of my head, I can't think of Glennon Doyle's book, but it's the main book that she has. It's not coming to me. I read those two books. Fantastic. Really motivated me in so many ways. And then I read Remarkably Bright Creatures, and then I read another book from Elizabeth Gilbert called The Signature of All Things, which is very good. And I don't think I would have read any of those books. Maybe I would have read the Glennon Doyle one because that one's been on my list for a minute, but I wouldn't have read the others at all because they weren't on my list. And I found them through the library and some books. They recommend books for you based on the ones you read as well. Girl, I'm having a blast. I've been in Hobbit mode. Like, I haven't been posting. I've literally been studying and reading on the Kindle. And it's been a really good stage, a really good Hobbit stage in my life. When it comes to conversations, I've actively been working on this since I've been like 20, I think. Basic conversation skills. But actually listening to people, you know, asking questions to them, like letting them speak, and then responding to them, trying not to control those conversations, going back to the idea of just living, like letting stuff come up, not trying to think of what you want to say while the other person's talking and then you say what you want to say. It's like, hold back and actually listen to them and then come up with things to say. I don't know if everybody's listening to this and they're like, girl, yeah, that's basic conversational English. I know, but sometimes it's hard for me because not in every conversation, I do listen to people, but I just mean, like, I think I had this decision since I was, like, 18. I just wanted to be a better listener. I wanted to learn more about people, ask questions, hear their perspectives on things, because I'm only ever getting the perspective that I have in this noggin. I want to know what other people are thinking, because we're all on the same planet at the same time. So I try my hardest to step back and let people talk, and the best way to do it is I love to ask questions. I'm a question asker. If you're in a conversation, make sure you ask at least one question at all times. When it comes to a to-do list, unfortunately, I still try to avoid it, but try to do the harder thing first. Do the thing that's going to take up the most time. Do the thing that's going to be the biggest task on your list. Do it first, because when you do that, it's going to set off, like, one, you're going to get it done finally, thank God, right? And two, it's going to set off a wave of, like, dopamine and serotonin in your brain, and you're going to be more motivated to get the little things done. Sometimes I'll start with a task, like an easy email or whatever, but then I'm like immediately going into the bigger task for the day, and it just helps me, like, I kind of ride the wave of motivation through the rest of the day, and I just feel a lot more fulfilled. It also helped me curb a little bit of my procrastination. Most of my trips and most of the situations I've been in, I've done it alone. I've done a lot of solo things because I have come to the conclusion, and I came to the conclusion a long time ago before I even did things, that if I want to do something, most of the time, I got to do it solo if I want to get it done. If I can't be dependent on other people, whether it's friendships or relationships or family, anybody around me, to make things happen for me sometimes, and I feel that's a great way to think. You don't have to box yourself into it and like make enemies out of everybody, but I just mean at the end of the day, there's going to be things that you do in friendships, in partnerships, but you may be unfulfilled in friendships and partnerships if you put everything you want to do in your entire life into both of those things, because everybody's different and they want to do different things. And there's going to be things and activities that you guys can do together that are going to be enjoyable and fun. But if you truly have a dream for something and you're trying to convince your family or your friends to kind of like get in on it and they don't want to, that might be something that you have to explore on your own or make it happen on your own. And I'm saying it from someone who's done it so many times. This year, I can think of 100 things, but this year, for example, I always wanted to do shark diving in Oahu, and nobody in Hawaii wanted to do it with me. I made so many friends out there and different islands, different places, and nobody wanted to like do this. And I was like, all right, at the end of the day, like I have to do it. And one, yeah, it's intimidating doing that, and I think it's less intimidating doing it with friends, but I really wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it for like three, I wanted to do it before I even came out here. Like, it was something in my head I saw online, and I was like, I really want to do it, and I would make friends and ask people, or anytime I would go to Oahu by myself, which is funny, because like every time I went to Oahu, it was always by myself. I did one group trip with some friends, which was very fun, but again, in that trip, we did like the stuff that we all wanted to do, and the stuff that I wanted to do and they wanted to do on their own, we probably didn't cover. But that's how life is, you know? When you're with a group of people, different things will come up. But at the end of the day, I knew I wanted to do that. So I ended up booking the trip by myself. And I made friends on the boat, which, again, it's like, you know you're going to go shark diving and you're trying to, like, socialize with people. I was like, this is actually good because it keeps you from thinking about, like, I'm actually about to jump in the ocean. But we can talk about that shark diving experience if you want, because that was one of the, I loved it so much. Like I said, I've always wanted to do it. I've always had a little bit of a fear of sharks, just a little bit, but they'd always come up in the back of my head because I am an ocean girl. Like, I've always been drawn to bodies of water, and everywhere I travel, it's always a body of water. Like, you will never catch me in a landlocked city. I will never be in a landlocked city unless I have to be. I love being by the sea, and the idea, I felt like I could face my fear. But I found them so fascinating. They're beautiful creatures, and there's an element of that as well. But obviously, there's also the fear element a little bit. So my whole thing was, if I do this, I feel like it's exposure therapy to the highest degree. And it was. It really was. And it was actually one of the craziest things, because it was one of the most serene experiences of my life, I think, because I was able to sit there and literally float with these sharks. And we did diving, too. So you would, like, dive down close to them. You basically, one by one, they taught you how to get into the water. I thought they were going to teach you a little bit more, because I researched this place and I really wanted to go to it for a long time, and I thought they were going to give us like a really big course on how to like be with the sharks, because the whole thing is they want you to coexist with the sharks, and they're showing you that when you're in the body of water with a shark, it's not going to look at you and come eat you, like, truly. Yes, there's like rogue cases of that, but at the same time, they were trying to show you that you can coexist with these animals and that they deserve like your respect as well. And yes, that's what happened. But so I'm sitting there and I'm like, they educated us on the types of sharks we may see. And then they gave us maybe like three little tips. And then the girl was like, all right, enjoy the ride. And I was like, what do you mean enjoy the ride? And she like went back to the front and I was like, that's it? That's it? And then they came around and they were like, the next girl that was talking was like talking about how she was going to collect the money for the photos. And I was like, oh, wait, no, we're done. We're definitely done with the education part, because we've moved on to money. I was like, wait. Wait. I was like, we just go in. And they were like, yeah. And then I kept like I'd be like laughing and I'd be like, ha ha ha. And I'd be like, but like, for real though, like, is it okay if we like kick? Like, I would just drop like a question every now and then. And my eyes would probably like bug out. Like, I'd be laughing and talking with all these people and be like, ha ha. But yeah, like, you've done this before. You said you were good, right? Like, you like, every now and then I drop something, and I wasn't the last to get in, but I was like towards the end of the line. And they basically put out a big rope at the end of the boat, and you go in one by one, and you just go in slowly. You don't want to cause a big commotion, a big splash, because obviously that will alarm them. And I forgot to mention, there's tons of sharks around the boat because they corral them in. Basically, the bay area that they use to do this specific tour in has been like a area that had a lot of fishing for a lot of years, and people would dump the guts like into the bay. So I forget what that's called. The chum, whatever. Yeah, they dumped the chum over. So then the sharks would come and eat the chum, right? Over the years, they stopped dumping the chum, but the sharks still associate the sound of the boat motor. Like, when boats rev up, they associate the sound with, oh, we're going to go get chum. Even though those sharks are probably dead, because this was like 70 years ago. Actually, they may not be, but some of the sharks might be. It's literally that species of sharks that are in that bay are like ingrained to hear. It's been passed down as a trait to hear the boat noise and think food, kind of like a Pavlov's dog law, you know, when they hear the bell, they start watering in their mouth because they associate with food. Same situation, but instead of food, they dump us in. So what they do is they rev the boat around a whole bunch of times, and then you start seeing all these shark fins come up out of the water, like 10, 15 of them, and then they start circling the boat and stuff. But then what they do is they slowly start to, I know that sounds terrifying, they slowly start to, like, it's just they're ingrained to, like, go to the boat. They don't actually think they're going to eat. It's just, like, in their DNA to do that. And then they start to, like, go deeper and deeper. So their surface level, you can see the fins, and then you wait a little bit, and they kind of start sinking down. And then they lower you in. So trust me, they explains it a little bit more scientific, where they're not literally, they literally don't think you're food, but it's just that's how they attract them to the boat. And then once you're in, they lay out this big rope that stretches out, I don't know how many feet, 15 feet. It's like two big pieces of rope that stretch out, and you can hold on to the ropes if you'd like, but and they're kind of like a guidance to help you get in and out, but you're supposed to stay within the region of the ropes. And then they have this like badass chick that's like a shark expert, and she like dives down and she kind of like patrols the area like while you swim. So yeah, it's a surreal experience, but it was really fun because I feel like it was mixed emotions, and there were people who were definitely like way more scared than I was. I feel like I was in the middle. I was tipping towards confident, but there was still a small bit of doubt, I guess. And there's people that were much more afraid than me. And I can't lie, that did make me feel a little better, because like there's this grown man on the boat on the way out, and he literally was like, oh my God, he was like a finance bro, and he was just really like, yeah, I'm gonna swim with the sharks. I'm taking pictures for my coworkers. And then when we got out there, like, he was holding onto the line the entire time and like didn't let go. And I was just like, I'm not making fun of him, but like, it's a funny story, because it's like, he was like really confident. And on the way out, I was like, oh shit, maybe I'm not as confident as like this guy. And then when we got out there, he like froze and couldn't move, which, like, fair play to him. I'm, again, not judging. We were literally in the open water with sharks, but it was really cool. And I think when I did the diving to get close to them, because they took some pictures of us and we would like dive down for the shots, anything for the gram, I guess, right? They would dive down for the shots. We'd get really close to the sharks, and like, it was really cool. It was really surreal. You can see their eyes and everything. And it was like, they didn't have that like protector thing they do when they're like gonna attack. So that was a good sign. I could see their eyes were like cool. I could see like the scars they had on them from like what, I don't know. But it was really surreal. And you're just in the middle of nowhere, and the water in Hawaii is super blue. And it was just silent, and these animals, and you were just with them, and you really were coexisting. So, and like I said, I've always wanted to do it. It was such a surreal experience. And the two girls in the boat that I was chatting to on the way out did it before. So that did give me a bit of like this girl was coming back for more. So I was like, okay. They do other tours too. Really cool company if you're interested. Deep Blue Echo Tours. They also do like reef diving, and they do dolphin tours and other things as well. So check it out if you want. You can also, if you can pay to go on the boat if you don't want to swim. But I think it's worth it to do the whole experience. But yeah, that's my shark story. I just wanted to share that. But the point that we were talking about was that solo things sometimes are the only way you're going to get things done. Because truly, maybe now in the future I can convince somebody to come because I did it. But at the end of the day, like, I probably would not have done it if I didn't just like bite the bullet and be like, I'm going to do it. And I've done that for my yoga teacher training. I flew halfway across the world for that, and nobody was going to like do that with me. I wanted to go to Hawaii originally. Same thing. I did it alone. Everything I've done alone, yes, it's had its trials and tribulations, but I've done those things. And then I've met people and been opened up to stuff so much in those situations. When you're uncomfortable, you will grow. And again, you can have adventures with friends, and I'm not saying do everything by yourself, but I'm saying there are some things in life that at the end of the day, you can't expect other people to fulfill those needs for you. You're the one that's going to have to do it. Next tip is dressing for the life that you want every day. So dress for the life that you want to live, because I feel like truly fashion and makeup and hair, whatever you want to do, because you can have little increments of each. They help me get me out of like funks. Like if I'm not feeling my best and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put on a pair of like a fun skirt that makes me feel really confident, or like my favorite baggy t-shirt with it, like make a fun outfit, or I'm going to do my hair a certain way. Sometimes it really can help lift my mood, and it reminds me like this is who I am, because sometimes I get into funks where it's like I'm wearing clothes I'm not confident in, or what I mean by that is just comfort. Like one of my favorite outfits are like haram pants, like big baggy pants and a big baggy t-shirt, but the haram pants are like, I don't know, like they fit my figure, but they're still loose and fitted. So they make me feel confident in a sense, because confidence doesn't have to do with just like your body, but like how you feel in it, you know? Like I love big oversized shirts. I don't like certain types of bras. Like they do not make me feel confident. They make me feel like stuffed, you know? And that's just my own feeling with it. I don't like certain types of jeans anymore. Like I don't wear tight jeans anymore because, girl, I can't do it anymore. I did it. I went to college in like 2017, like skinny jeans. Oh my, I can't. I'm over it, you know? So there's things that make me feel confident and just like comfortable and cool. Like some of my shoes make me feel confident. I just like to dress in things that make me feel good. It doesn't matter, honestly. My makeup, my hair, my outfits, they just make me feel cool and confident in myself. I'm not dressing for other people. I'm dressing for myself. And I feel like I dress for the life I want to live. I want to like explore the world and run my own business and do my own things. And you know what? That type of person would wear cool clothes that I feel comfortable in, you know? So I love dressing in a fun way, or doing my hair, or doing weird accessories, or whatever it is, because at the end of the day, like, I'm just doing it to feel, like, I want to feel good. It doesn't matter if I don't see a single soul, or I don't leave the house, or whatever, but I like to feel a certain way. And if you're feeling in a funk sometimes, like, fixing your hair, or, like, putting on a cool outfit, like, really does help. I have been suffering with hormonal acne since I was, like, 14. I think even earlier, to be honest, and I don't think my skin has been 100% clear from acne or some sort of lingering scar since I've been literally 13. Because I think 14, but honestly, I think I was in 7th grade, which was like 13. So I've been dealing with that my whole life. And if you're an acne girl, or if somebody who, you understand like the toll it takes and all of that. And I've been doing, I've tried everything. Like, everybody says that too. I've tried everything. But acne, I know, is a holistic journey, and it's literally showing, like, your body's inflamed in some way, and that's why it's coming up, and it could be a lot of things. And I know mine is hormonal, and so the past year I've been really honing down on getting like monthly facials. I get the Hydra facials, where they literally, it's an acne specialist. So what I want to talk about is, I went through, there's a company called Face Reality, and they train different estheticians to handle acne. And you can go on Face Reality's website and search your area for a practitioner that's certified in, it's just techniques on how to deal with it. Because like, people, I never used to get facials because I was afraid like the products would break me out. So I found estheticians that are Face Reality certified. And they're their own practices and their own people, and they do their own things and offer their own services, but they don't use the things that are going to like irritate your skin. So that was a big thing for me. I started getting monthly facials with my facial lady. Actually, there's two of them. I love them both. They're really awesome people. But they have helped my skin so much, and just like the overall complexion. And then I've been working on it for years, but I've honed down on one thing that I think what might have been a little bit of a trigger inside and out, which is products that disrupt your hormones, like the quote-unquote non-toxic products and all of that. That's been something I've been into this past year. So you can do that too with like your period products. You know how they talk about non-toxic? There are a lot of brands that I like and that have helped me. I've been using ClearStem. None of this is sponsored. Like I said, I've been suffering with this stuff for like years. But ClearStem is a acne company. It's non-toxic holistic products. Anything with fragrance in it is going to upset your skin if you have acne, as well as some things are non-comedogenic. So those are things that are not going to clog your pores. And ClearStem on their website as well is a really good resource. That's why I'm shouting these companies out, because I want you to check. They have a tool where you can go on their website, type in whatever product you have or the ingredients, and it will tell you if there's pore cloggers in it, which it was very helpful for me for like getting rid of products and kind of switching over to different things. Not saying you have to buy their line, but you can literally use that tool on their website. And the same thing, if you're looking for a good facial and you have sensitive skin, check out Face Reality and look for practitioners that are certified. This year I just took my skincare. Like, I've been doing skincare for years, and it's not just skincare. I heard somebody say that once, that like, you don't have like an imbalance of skincare, or like a lack of skincare. It's like, it might be an imbalance inside. So I've been working with like different teas to help with my hormones. I can do a whole episode on this, honestly, because I feel like I will talk about it forever. But I'm using different teas, different triggers in food might cause flare-ups. So I've been kind of trying things out with food, you know, slowly putting more things in, taking some things out, just experimenting for my own well-being. But my period products, I like to use Viv or Honey Pot, because those are non-toxic tampons and products, or you can use period underwear as well. I don't use anything that is going to like put chemicals on me, because I feel like it fucks up my hormones and I break out more. And I'm like, girl, I'm suffering enough. So I've been using non-toxic, like holistic period products. I like the brand Primarily Pure. They have a lot of really good home care. Like my candles, I've cut out candles that are toxic. Like anything that has fragrance in it, except for my goddamn Billie Eilish perfume, because I love that scent so much and I really can't get rid of it. I only spray perfume on my clothes. I don't put it on my skin. And I use natural deodorant. And these are things I've done the slow baby steps to slowly like detox from a lot of heavy products. Because at the end of the day, you can't be afraid of everything in life. But I do know there is a correlation between like heavily fragranced, heavily artificial products and like how my hormones interpret it and how it literally breaks me out. Like I've seen a causation. So my deodorant, my body care products, I just use body lotion that's non-scented. I use like a natural body lotion. Again, my face products are all non-toxic now. I've switched over to like the ClearStem products. Primarily Pure is what I use for the rest of body products, like any Vaseline. I don't use Vaseline. I use like their version. Anyway, I really want to do an episode about it, but this has been the year that I've kind of looked into looking at internal issues and looking at non-toxic products to help with my hormone health. And it's really made a difference, and it's something I personally enjoy and can vouch for. Same thing with quality foods. That's my next point. The most you can, I try, okay? Because again, life is what it is, and you're not always going to be able to afford certain things or go a certain way. But food quality, looking at nutrient-dense foods. So for example, like pasture-raised eggs. These things are always talked about. And at the end of the day, yes, you can have an egg, but a pasture-raised egg might be more nutrient-dense because that means that those chickens are fed a better diet, and that at the end, like, the egg might be a darker yolk, which means it just has a little bit more nutrients in it, but it's still an egg. It still is an egg. Organic food, same thing. It's raised in a different way, or it's like not sprayed with the types of pesticides that conventional food products are. So when I can, I try to take more organic, more pasture raised things into my diet. For example, like, I don't eat this, but this is just an example, like chicken liver. If you get chicken liver, if you get organic products, it's probably a little bit better because fat holds like the hormones and the toxins a little bit more, and liver is a fatty product, so it would be holding those things. These are just little things that I've tried and have felt better with, but yeah, organic and pasture-raised food and things like that. But I truly don't get them all the time. Like, I'm flat out saying it. Like, I try when I can. Like, I try with my eggs, I try with a variety of certain veggies, and with like my chicken products, I try to get it, you know, but like some of them I don't, but it's just something I've been exploring, so I do want to share that. We're on to the last few points. My next one is don't disclaim anything. I find myself doing it sometimes and stepping back, but an active journey in my life is not disclaiming anything. Let's say you have a pimple and you go into a store and you're talking to somebody and you bring up the pimple. Sometimes we try to bring up our insecurities to beat people to it or make a joke out of it. And it's like, I'm not going to disclaim anything anymore per se. Or if you have a weird, like, you're insecure about part of your outfit, maybe subconsciously, and you like bring it up, you know, or sometimes we downplay our clothes. We're like, oh yeah, this was like $5 or like whatever, you know, we disclaim too much about ourselves sometimes, and it's not fair to us because we shouldn't diminish ourselves with little things like that. For example, sometimes we do it with our cooking. We'll try to give somebody cooking we made and we're like, yeah, it might be a little salty, or like it's a little overcooked, and you put a disclaimer out there before the person even tries it. We do it a lot of the times. We used to do it with like presentations in school or whatever. It'd be like, yeah, like I didn't work too much on this, or like, stop disclaiming. I'm saying it as a message to myself. Like, I need to hear it back sometimes, but don't downplay yourself in this world. If you hear it, if you see yourself do it, just note it and try to correct it the next time, because you don't deserve to downplay yourself. Like, you don't need to hide. You don't need to make yourself smaller than you are. Like, you're allowed to take up space. You're allowed to do these things. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. Coming back to this point, I think I've made similar points in this episode. These are our last two. Trying to prove yourself to people or trying to impress other people that's where your energy is gonna go. I feel like there's no one to impress truly, or no one to prove yourself to, because when you're trying so hard and thinking of that, that's where you're putting all your effort, and it pulls you away from your own life. I feel like the time periods in my life where I've been obsessed with something, or I felt like I needed to prove myself at work, or needed to prove myself to certain people or impress certain people, like, I lose progress and just general happiness in my life on my own life path, because I'm looking at this other life path like to the side of me, and I'm trying to like fit in or be this way or show them that I'm worth this, because at the end of the day, that just comes down to like a self-worth realization. I don't want to say issue, because like, it's just noticing like you're the only person that can validate yourself and bring happiness to yourself. So when you actually try to get that from other people, you may get it, but like, you're not gonna get it from everybody on the entire planet. And I feel like having that mindset is just taking you away from like what actually matters to you and what you're actually good at and what's gonna make you happy in life. So I've been trying to steer away from that, but I've had that realization this year, which is like so refreshing. I'm like, finally, finally, like 15 years of this maybe. And lastly, nutrient wise, what I've been into, like what the hot girls are doing with nutrients. Minerals, I've been really into minerals. I noticed that if you're adrenal fatigued, like if you feel like you're overly stressed chronically, I've noticed minerals has helped with that. And just the idea of getting minerals in, whether it be through a supplement, whether it be through literal foods. Shilajit is what I've been taking recently, probably a few months now. Before that, I did sea moss, because Shilajit and sea moss are just two natural occurring things that happen to have a lot of minerals in them. Shilajit has 82. out of like 100 minerals, and then I believe that sea moss has 94 out of 102 minerals that the human body needs or is like required. So they're high sources, which is why people like to take them, because they're like whole food sources of nutrients and minerals. But again, you can get minerals through trace mineral drops. That's a really great way to do it too. I don't know why I didn't start with that one. Trace mineral drops are the drops that you can add to your water, like 5 or 6 drops, and they really help you get your mineral content in. Big fan of that. Herbs have been my girl this year. I've been taking, especially for period health and women's health, herbs around different parts of your cycle, like my luteal and menstrual phase. I've been taking a certain concoction, a little potion of herbs to help with PMS. And when you start taking things consistently, you really do start to see a beautiful change. So herbs are great for that. They're great for helping like detox your liver and help with like literally hormonal acne, things like that. Energy, tons of that. Teas, same thing. Yerba mate, that's my girl for energy. I get most of my caffeine through yerba mate, actually all of it, through yerba mate and matcha. I don't drink any other caffeine sources. And I don't drink it every day. It's just if I want caffeine, I will get it from tea. Herbs and teas basically as support for stress and inflammation in the body has been something that has really taken my interest in the past year. I find myself reading books about it, listening to podcasts about it a lot, talking about it, yapping about it a lot. So combined with what I was talking about, like bedtime routines, managing stress, inflammation, I'm coming up with a few podcast episodes about all of those things. So stay tuned. I don't want to talk your ear off about it a lot, but that is an update. It's something I've learned this year, and something, it's like a form of medicine that I've really been looking into. And I feel like it does complement a lifestyle where you're eating whole foods, moving your body, and then adding in like herbal supports and things like that really helps. And just a quick word from our sponsor, who is me. I am the sponsor. I've mentioned in previous episodes and in this episode as well that your day does truly begin with your mornings. And when you take time to envision your day, your higher self, who you want to be, you basically lay down like this powerful blueprint that creates a mantra in your head that you can return to during your day. It creates a structure for you to look back on. And scientific research shows that meditating in the morning, guess what this is a promo for? Your brain is in the theta state. And when it's in the theta state, it allows you to absorb information more effectively. So I am promoting this meditation that I created called an intention setting meditation. It's designed to anchor you into the present moment and allows you to visualize how you want to be and how to remind yourself of that vision throughout your day. And I'm giving it out for free. It's not like a gimmick or anything like that. But all you have to do to get this meditation is leave a 5-star review. So just 5 stars and then leave a review, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, whatever platform you're listening to. And just DM me on Instagram, Happy Holistic Hippie, a screenshot that you did that, and I'll send you the link to the meditation. I also, in the background of the meditation, use hypnosis, like in the music tracks, to incorporate a little bit of that and a little bit of affirmations that your mind will subconsciously absorb. So even if you're not feeling like putting in the work, quote unquote, to do this meditation, it will help you absorb these things, like I was saying, to kind of stay in your mind throughout the day. And some of the benefits are clarity and peace, having a little bit of more motivation, a refresher of who you are, and an immediate shift in energy. So imagine carrying that energy and that sense of purpose with you all day. So if you want this meditation, it's an intention setting meditation. All you have to do again is leave a review and then send me proof that you did that over on the gram. Happy Holistic Hippie is my username, and I'll send you the link to the meditation and you can keep it forever. So that is it for this week's episode. We're going to cap it under an hour. I loved chatting about it, and I feel like there was not a lot of a structure for this. I just wrote down some points and wanted to explain them. So that being said, if anything really resonated with you or something that you want to go more into, please, please, please let me know. You can DM me over on Instagram, Happy Holistic Hippie, and we can chat about it. It also helps me create content for you because I want to know what you want to hear, or I want to know if you want to share anything that you're struggling with. This way we can open up a discussion and some solutions on the pod. Yeah, I just want to create content that is what you need. So let me know. And thank you so much for listening in. I'm actually recording this, and then on my birthday, when you're listening to this, for my birthday gift this year for myself, it's literally effing off to a cabin in the middle of nowhere, which I tend to do a lot. I tend to do that often. But yeah, I'll be kind of off grid and in the middle of the wilderness. So that's where I'll be. I hope you're having a great day, and thank you so much for tuning in on my birthday to listen to some of the things that I have just come across in this lifetime and felt like I needed to share because they have really helped me. So thank you so much, and we will see you next week.